Hey everybody, producer Ethan here. Just wanted to touch base with a few programming notes before we get into today's podcast with our special guest, Edmund Apperson. We are taking a little break here for a couple weeks to get ready for and attend the Conjure Community Summit in Tupelo, Mississippi on May 3rd and 4th. If you want to know what all the fuss is about there, please follow the link in the show notes and come check us out in Tupelo, Mississippi. Also want to let you know that if you actually wanted to see about joining CC Club, you can also do that with another link in the show notes, which will take you right to the club page. And if you give us a shot, it'll also show us that you're coming from the podcast, which would really help us out with the podcast. So that's it, really. Just a couple weeks off to do the summit, and then we'll be back with more performance report podcasts. If you had any questions or anything, we do have a new email address. You can email us at podcast, the word podcast, podcast at conjure.community. You can hit me up with any questions there. All right, let's get into today's podcast. Welcome to the Magic Performance Report podcast, sponsored by Conjure Community. Each week, we're uncovering the ups and downs of the real working magicians as they navigate through some of their recent magic gigs. This week, we go to the Southland to talk to our friend Edmund Apperson, the Southern Scoundrel, as he discusses his recent and first-time gigs at the Magic Castle. Alexander Slemmer and Steve Barcelona join in on a wonderful conversation, so settle in, unwind, and let's dive into the wonder that lies ahead.
We have Edmund Apperson, who's a very vocal member in the club, and he's here to tell us about a very exciting performance that he did that I think everybody is going to be very interested in. Everybody's going to want to hear the story. I know that I do.
Yeah.
So it's probably wise for us to just jump into this thing. And, you know, Edmund, welcome.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you joining us today.
We need like a little applause cue here.
Right?
Yeah.
We're both off. But
yeah. Great. Thanks so much for being here. Really. You are on our short list, obviously. So Edmund, we understand you've been around the club a while. People may don't know who you are. Why don't you give us like the little thumbnail sketch? Like, how did you get involved in the club and how did you get into magic? Have you been in magic your whole life? Give us the sketch.
Yeah, I'll start from the very beginning when I first started doing magic. I started when I was 8 years old. My uncle gave me a Marshall Brodean magic set.
Nice, man.
Well, that's something right there. So it stuck. And I started doing magic. There was a local magic shop, and a guy who was one of my mentors named John Murray ran that shop and got to grow up and do a lot through him. But at first, I thought I was going to be a stage magician. So everything I did, I was doing doves, and I had a zigzag and a sub trunk and all of those.
Right on.
Me too.
Yeah. And I went to college and was still doing magic through college. And then when I got done and I got my first real job, I decided it was time to put magic away. And I did it for several years. And I ended up being a buyer for a chain of stores called Montgomery Ward's in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I walked to a restaurant called Biggs, went down to the bar, and there was a gentleman performing behind the bar. And at the time, I had no idea who he was.
You really saw him in person doing it?
I saw him in person at Biggs, and I met Eugene Berger. And he lit a close-up fire under me. And one day, he was performing something that I really enjoyed. And I said, Eugene, I don't want to know how you did it. I just want to know, where can I find it? And he said, oh, well, it's out of Eddie Fields, one of Eddie Fields' books. And I said, I think I have that book. And sure enough, I did. So that actually is a piece of one of the pieces I do in my multiple selection at the castle now is straight from that night. I was trying to do magic for a while, semi-professionally, because I've always still had my day job. And then I got married when I was 38, and magic took a back burner again for a few years. And I got back into it when I moved to South Carolina in about 2015. And I went to Magic Live, where I met a gentleman named Lou Enton.
Okay.
And Lou and I became best friends. We are great. Lou is one of my favorite people in the world.
Amen.
Yep. So Lou started telling me about the club and you need to be a member of the club. And then I went to Magi Fest, where I met Michael Sproul. Through Michael Sproul, I ended up joining the club. And I decided not long after that, this was only about a year or so before the pandemic, that I would start getting into doing paid gigs again. And through Lou Enten, when the pandemic hit and everything shut down, I met John Kippen. And he asked me, would I do a virtual show with him? And I said, I would love to. So I did it. Well, Jack Goldfinger, who's the entertainment director at the Castle, Jack sat in. And I'd been sending Jack tapes a couple of times earlier in my life and never got anything back from him, nothing. But he saw me and he called me and said, hey, the Castle's doing virtual shows right now. Do you want to do one? And I said, I would love to. So I was on with Mark D'Souza and Michael Breger and myself, the guy nobody has ever heard of. And then Jack called me the next week after that and said, they tell me you want to perform here. And by they, he means Lou was twisting his arm.
Always good to have friends on the inside.
Absolutely. So I said, we're opening again in February. Let's pick a date. So on my 59th birthday, I was performing in the close-up gallery at the world-famous Magic Castle. And I just came off my third week there last month.
So you visited two more times after that, you're saying?
Yeah. Wow. So I've now three times. So I feel like I'm in the rotation. But wouldn't have happened if not for John Kippen and Lou Enten.
And of course, that is without a doubt that it would not have happened without having friends, you know, and I think it's real important that friends talk up for friends, speak up for each other. But you know what I wanted to really say, though, is that really it's the fact that you decided you wanted to do it, isn't it? It's like you said yes to things. Like a long time ago, I used to talk about this. It's like the power of just saying yes. You were asked to do Kippen's show and you just said yes. And that's the thing that got the ball rolling.
Yeah. Really.
You know, if you would have said no, it's always better to say yes if you can. That's what I think. But good for you, man. I mean, that's...
I have a question for you. So you started with these online shows, and you had a notion of what those shows were going to be because of the format that you're working. How much of that stuck when you... Or did any of it stick when you decided to put together the set for doing the actual Magic Castle in person?
Yeah, a couple of pieces stuck. And one of the pieces that I have in my set is a triumph. And it has a unique ending, which is my one problem with triumph. And Alex, I'm going to get to this because this is going to be something that you actually inspired when you were teaching triumph on one of the Wednesday nights a while back. But my only thing is everybody says, this is what happened when I was performing. And this thing happened. Somebody messed up my cards. And nobody ever told you what it was they really were doing when that happened. So the way that I start out is the decks face up, they select a card, you go through the whole triumph thing. But at the end, it turns out that the card that they chose out of all the cards they could have chosen is the only card in the deck with a blue back.
Nice.
And that's the trick that I originally was doing, that somebody could pick a card and do that. So it came about because when you were teaching triumph, and I'd never thought about it before, you talked about the fact that the deck never changes order. Yeah. And I guess I knew it, but I just didn't think about it. And so that gave me the idea to throw a double backer on top of the deck. And when everything is said and done and the card writes itself, the double backer is right under it. So
it's a red-blue double backer, you're saying?
The red-blue double backer.
I don't know if we could talk methods here, guys. I'm not really sure if we should do that or not, but I was just going to remark.
Still happy to hear about
it. It's not like we all don't have a few red-black double backers on hand, you know what I mean? I got decks of them.
But that stuck. Everything else was pretty much not in any of the virtual things that I did. But that one definitely.
Pretty specialized venue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to know. So let's back up to the first time you played the Castle.
Right. Yep.
So he calls you, he says, let's pick a date, and you go on your 59th birthday, I think he said.
Yep.
Is that right? 59th.
Yep.
Congratulations. So tell us, what happens? So, like, where do you live? On the East Coast, I have a feeling? Is that
right? East Coast. And, you know, Jack was going to put me in the cocktail slot. And he's like, well, you know, I don't really have a place to put you up. And I said, Jack, no problem. I'll put myself up.
Because don't say that out loud, because that's when they'll stop booking rooms for everybody.
Yeah. It was all about getting there.
Yeah, of course. Of course it was. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I went out and I literally found an Airbnb that's at the foot of the Castle parking lot. So I just could walk out and walk up. And I went up that very first day. I went up at probably 3 o'clock for a show that's going to start at 5:15.
got all ready back there. And
so what happened? Like, so when you show up, what happens? Do you sign in? Do you punch a clock? Like, what happens? Tell us.
When you go in and they've got a packet for you. And the first time through, they have somebody come down and show you how the lights and the sounds work in the close-up room. And it's a very small little dressing, sharing it with the other two guys that'll be performing later that night. And so they did that. The one thing that was really cool the very first time is they bring an Ace of Diamonds and they have you sign it. And everybody who's ever performed in the close-up gallery has signed an Ace of Diamonds, and it's kept on file down in the Larson Library.
Hmm.
So I thought that was really kind of cool. But it was nerve-wracking. I will tell you, the other person who helped me out a lot, though, was Newell Unford. Newell had said, listen, you need to have three sets of everything ready to go, because you're doing three shows back-to-back. And that was incredible. I do a copper, silver, brass. I bought three sets of copper, silver, brass. I mean, I just had everything laid out and ready to go. And the transition for me was like 2 minutes. I was ready to go to the next set.
Right.
The first couple were incredibly nerve-wracking, I will not lie. But it was a ride. I left with a high after that week it took me a long time to come down from.
I mean, it's one of the, yeah. It is totally, it's one of those things, you know, performing at the castle. So tell me, so you get the lay of the land, they show you how the lights are running, everything. So it's that first set, right? So tell me what you're dealing with. Like, how many people are there? What are they like? Are they like in a good mood? Like, just tell me like the feel of it, you know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, the great thing is when you're at the castle, it's an audience that wants to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the nice thing about being the early guy, I think, is that you're the very first person that anybody's going to see when they come in. On top of that, they haven't been drinking a lot yet, but they'll have high energy. And the first group that first night, it was a full house, because everybody's lined up waiting to get in as soon as the door opens. So the very first group that night was a full house, and it was just electric. They were so, you know, welcoming. Everything went off without a hitch, despite how nervous I was, and that felt fantastic. But the second group was maybe 15 people. The very first time was like a Wednesday night. They hadn't extended the early to the full week yet. So it was a Wednesday night, and the second group was about 15 people. And the third group was probably 10 to 15, and they were all magicians.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, bummer.
Golf clapping you.
Like, so that was a little rough. But the next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all those nights were packed, all the shows with people standing on the stairs in the little room. Because for those who don't know, the room only seats like 26 people, I think. And then there's standing room for maybe another 8 or 9.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So it was packed. It was right in the fire. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. It was great. So, and I got invited back, so it couldn't have been all bad.
No.
Right. And well.
So that's really, really exciting. And I love the little tip there about having the sets of stuff already. We kind of blew by that really quickly, but basically the lesson there, I think, is you're going to do three sets with a really quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be a really quick turnaround. I think it's like 15 minutes at most, right?
Yeah.
And you could spend 15 minutes going through your case, getting everything back lined up, or, you know, take your jacket off for a minute, sit down, have a little something to drink and relax, and just grab a set that's all ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, and so you can hit that second set, relax. That's a great, great idea, especially for your first time. You know,
right.
I mean,
yeah. And I'm still doing it that way. What Newell had told me was great. And Newell said, make sure you write your introduction exactly the way you want it. Have it on 3x5 cards ready for them. Now they have it all preloaded on their phones. But Newell's advice was fantastic.
Yeah. Awesome. Friends, right?
It's all from this club. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I tried some things out on the group on the Monday nights. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful place. I have friends from this group that will probably be friends of mine for the rest of my life.
And that's the thing we see over and over again in the group is that's, you know, we see that as people get together, they make community, people are helping each other. People are really making sure that magic is what it needs to be because they're looking at it with a discerning eye that they wouldn't otherwise because they're looking at it for their friends. They're trying to make sure their friends
succeed. You
know, beautiful.
Absolutely.
You know what I notice is that everybody in the club, and I a lot of times I wouldn't use an absolute like that, you know what I mean? But I really feel like everybody in the club just really wants every other member to do well. If we do a mastermind, everybody wants that person to do well. If somebody gets up, like we're going to do the member show coming up at the summit. And well, let me just give everyone a quick rundown. We have a convention. It's called the Summit, and it's where we do all this in 3D, but it's really focused on the attendees more than it's really focused on the lectures and the people that are there. Though there's really, we're having Javi.
Some awesome lectures, though.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have Willie Monroe, who gave an online lecture to the club and blew everybody away. But it's also about the members. And one thing we do is we do a member show, right, where the members can get up and perform for the room. And it is, I mean, I'm more than one occasion, and I don't want to sound too kooky, I got chills, you know? Because everybody, like no one's sitting in the audience wishing for someone to fail. Everybody wants them to kill. And the applause and the energy in that room. And so here's how you know it's good. It was so good that this year we had so many people, we have to do two shows. Because everybody wants to do it, you know? But
It's our member mastermind show that we do online, but in person.
In person. Exactly. Yeah. But I just want to say that that's the vibe of the club, right? That is the underlying message the club has for people, you know? There's no sniping. There's no trolls allowed. You know, it's like, you know, everyone's pulling everyone's cart. You know what I mean?
You know, I hate to say this metaphor because it pops up again and again, but it literally is the rising tide lifting all of the ships.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. You know, in this community, magic in general, but also the hunter community specifically, is a place where everybody is all about helping each other and nobody's out to make themselves the number one person. And that's
exactly
anything that would be a hobby or a career path for that many people to want to help each other, but they do.
And well, it's a thing that we see in the shows, like with you, Edmund, even coming on the member mastermind, we see people being their authentic selves. They find a way to step into themselves and be authentically who they are. And when you can do that, no one can steal it from you, so there's no reason to compete because we're all individuals. And when you can let that be the focal point and let that be the thing that lets everyone shine, it's a way different playing field, and everyone's playing in a much more kind way, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, we're harping on this too much, so I'm sure it'll get edited out. But let me just say, you know, Edmund, it's not lost on me. You know, you're an executive type of a person, right? You worked in purchasing, and, you know, and the thing that I enjoy most about the club is that, you know, it's serious, really, isn't it? I mean, it's serious. It's not little tricks. It's like learning how to be serious about magic and to be really, really good. And if you can only do two or three tricks, that's great. That's fine. But you're going to be serious about them and make them masterpieces. And, you know, and that's the kind of thinking. And that's what feeds me, man. That's what keeps me.
My wife is so impressed with the group. And, you know, so we have a Monday night chat.
Whoa, flag the tape. Your wife's impressed with the group. Holy mackerel.
We have this messenger group where we're all chatting. And you keep hearing the ding, ding, ding. We're chatting. And she goes, is that the girls having a little chat? It's like a coffee clatch sometimes, but it's wonderful.
That's when you say, no, it's way more important than that.
Yeah.
It's way more important than a coffee clatch. We're talking double lifts here.
Yeah. it's really been exciting, and you know, I'm probably only a few years away from retiring, and so magic is what I hope to do full time for a few years while my hands are still solid.
Yeah, really.
And be able to keep that up. And right now I perform predominantly for adults, but I'm working on a children's show with a children's character and all of that as well.
Well, I tell you what, before we wrap this up, why don't you tell us, what do you got on the horizon? What do you have coming up gig-wise?
So I have my website, which is thesouthernscoundrel.com, and I probably pull in a couple of gigs a month, except in the holidays when it gets really busy, which is a part of the
season, I call that.
Heart season. Yeah. As many as I can do and still be able to do my day job full time. And my company's been very supportive. When we have customer dinners, I'm usually the end of the evening entertainment, whether it's my customer or not, when we're at trade shows. But as far as anything going forward, I'm working on a children's show with a character called the Grumpy Grandpa. And That's, yeah, I mean, the grumpy grandpa is this old stodgy guy with a messed up beard, messed up hair, who hates kids, but he's got a heart of gold. So in the end, he treats them all well. But that's kind of the thought behind him. And yeah, I've even got my card possum ready for the grumpy grandpa. I'll have to share that with you.
Look forward.
We're waiting on a mastermind. We'll see it.
Well, thanks again, Edmund. We appreciate you being here with us.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for tuning into the Magic Performance Report podcast by Conjure Community. We hope you enjoy diving into the magical world with us today. Remember, the magic doesn't stop here. Keep practicing those routines, embracing those highs, and learning from those occasional hiccups. Together, we'll continue to unravel the mystery. I'm Ethan Fisher, and thanks for listening.
If you would like more information on Conjure Community, the world's greatest magic club, please email support@conjurer.community or check out club.conjurer.community. Podcast produced by Ethan Fisher.